Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
From AccuWeather.com, this is Everything Under the Sun. It's our weekly podcast with stories about the weather and climate and the roles they play in our daily lives. I'm your host, AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore. Thanks for joining us as we head into the first full weekend of November. This is starting our seventh episode of our series that focuses on fall. Although, you know, you wouldn't know it's fall this week. We started a stretch of warm weather that rivals real field temperatures you'd expect in late summer, early fall, versus what you might think November might feel like as we approach winter's arrival in just a few short weeks. My goodness, it's so warm in the east, but our friends out west, they're going to get a deep dive into what, by my count, I think is about the third taste of early winter in the areas on the left side of the country. You know, when you think of fall weather, you think of football. And so as I get ready to announce this weekend's Penn State football game in Beaver Stadium, there will only be about 1,500 people in the stadium that will hear me live. That means there will be about 105,000 people that'll miss out on a 70-degree afternoon in early November with a 3:30 kickoff. And that's one of my favorite times for a college football game, those games that start in the sunshine and end under the lights. You know, we did get to play football in the Big Ten. I shouldn't complain, but it is without all the excitement. There's no paying fans. There are no marching bands, no cheerleaders, no mascots. In a word, the first game I announced last weekend should have been a whiteout with Ohio State with 105, 110,000 screaming fans. In a word, to announce it without fans was weird. I've become great friends with my counterparts at the other two Big Ten stadiums that seat over 100,000 fans, and I'm sure that feeling of weirdness that I have wasn't unique to my situation, so I've been looking forward to welcoming my two friends, Ohio Stadium public address announcer Bob Kennedy and the University of Michigan, and Michigan Stadium's public address announcer Carl Grapentine, to Everything Under the Sun, and we will talk about this weird college football season. Today's the day to do that. We'll also highlight the second team in that competition, Project X, the machine learning competition from University of Toronto AI, which focuses on climate change this 2020 season. Well, AccuWeather supporting and partnering with Project X, and we'll head to Madison, Wisconsin, another Big Ten place, and talk to a team of Badgers who want to use machine learning to make better forecasts related to wildfires and climate change. My friends, it's time to talk about everything under the sun. For years truly, my professional and broadcasting announcing life has had two main focal points. I gave my first DeVorecast of the weather back to my fourth grade class each morning when one of my teachers then showed an early interest in my passion for weather at an early age. Seemed like as we got closer to college, that focus switched more to some of my other passions. So I wanted to broadcast sports, including Penn State football and basketball, when I started working in radio in Happy Valley in the mid-90s. You know that Penn State is home to the Nittany Lions, and also Happy Valley is home to AccuWeather. So my weather broadcasting career came back to the front when I started working here with AccuWeather back in 1998. Subsequently, they would help me earn a degree and certification in broadcast meteorology, and since that point, I've been amazingly fortunate to be on so many amazing radio stations across this great nation and continue to be so today. But I never lost my passion for sports. In fact, this 2020 season was supposed to mark the 21st year as the stadium announcer in Beaver Stadium for Penn State football, the 27th year for announcing Penn State women's volleyball, and 31st year for Penn State men's lacrosse and other sports. So we were on a roller coaster ride. First, we found out we were only going to play conference games, and then a week or so after that, almost less than 2 weeks, we found out we weren't going to play any sports at all in the fall. At least it seems so in the Big Ten. But then a few weeks later, that roller coaster ride of emotions came back and it said we were going to play football. Now, a little differently than we've played in the past. Myself and three of my friends, Bob Kennedy, the Ohio State University public address announcer for the Buckeyes, and Carl Grapentine, the public address announcer for the University of Michigan and the Wolverines. We're used to announcing for 100,000 or more every Saturday, but we were told that we were going to be announcing for mere hundreds in the stadium, as we were not going to have any paying fans. Kind of a different feel this college football season, so I wanted to check in with my three amigos, Bob Kennedy, Carl Grapentine, and I talk about what this Big Ten football season and fall sports season has been really like.
Well, I could go alphabetically, I could go longevity, I could go all those kinds of things, but let's... We'll start alphabetically by school, and we'll start with Michigan. And Carl, this is, by my count, your 16th season. You did three games in 2005, and then you picked up from 2006 on. 16th season for announcing Michigan football in the Big House. But
that is, you know, that is correct.
Last season was your 50th. This is where I have you beat on number of years stadium announcing. But last season was your 50th. Announcing for the Michigan Marching Band.
Right.
I started that in 94, so 25th year, I think, in that regard.
Wasn't that the, should have been national championship year?
94? Well, it was 94, the year that we kind of got.
Yeah,
Nebraska'd that year in 94. But yeah, 96. And then, since then, and we've shared some good times in Michigan Stadium and bad times together, both of us seeing stuff.
That's true.
And then, Mr. Kennedy, this is your 17th season doing Ohio Stadium. 18th, my bad. Okay. So, and fine. Then what, 21st for doing
21st wrong.
For overall other sports for Ohio State that you do?
Yeah, my other primary sports are men's and women's soccer and baseball, secondary men's basketball. And of the 36 varsity sports that we have at Ohio State, I've done, if my count is correct by memory, which is always subject to change, I've done 21 of the varsity sports.
All right.
Did I always know what I was doing? Hell no.
Yeah, I'm about there, too, in terms of I've done everything but in a regular season game. I haven't done our hockey teams yet. And the only other thing that I haven't done is anything with tennis. But everything else I've done stuff with, like even
I haven't done either men's or women's tennis. I did women's ice hockey for 11 years.
Wow. There you go.
Starting with the second year of the program. It's been a wide variety of opportunities, for sure.
So Bob and I and Carl are all radio guys, I guess,
right.
with different kinds of focuses. Carl's focus was classical music, waking up people in the mornings on
WFMT in Chicago.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was in Chicago. I just didn't know the call letters. I'm glad, you know, because I just got on BBM. I just started BBM, WBBM, about 6-7 months ago. So we didn't have to compete.
Very nice.
Which is good. that's good. And then, Bob, you do an afternoon shift on a radio station in Ohio as well?
Yeah. I'm actually middays, 9 to 2 on WDLR in Delaware. We just acquired what used to be WVKO here in Columbus and make it part of our conglomerate of stations. So we now have four, and now we're under our company umbrella. And so far, it's gone very well. We just did election coverage.
When will this air, Dean? Will you have Pennsylvania fixed by then?
This is dropping very early Friday morning, so we will not know exactly. Probably.
I might find out during the Rutgers game on Saturday night.
Well, right. Yeah, we may be one of us may be able to first. What time are you guys this weekend? So I'm at 3:30 with the.
I'm away.
We're 7:30 on Saturday night.
That's
we got Rutgers under the lights on BTN.
That's right. Carl gets the week off.
I'm away this week. We're scheduled for a night game on ABC with Wisconsin, but Wisconsin just had to cancel its last two games because of COVID.
So. We're going to be talking about this season and how strange it's been and that kind of thing in our second segment. But here in this first segment is we kind of introduce ourselves to each other. So, you know, what's in common here, folks, is we regularly talk to 100,000 people. People have asked me what it's like. I kind of tell them that it's kind of like, I don't know what it's like. You know, it's hard to tell. I guess part of it is you can't think about it. I try to really communicate one-on-one. That seems to be my thing. That, and I think that's maybe why we're three so successful what we do, because we're radio people and we know that kind of magic of, well, when you're talking to large groups of people, you're still only talking to one person. And I think the keys to me in what I do is that I'm trying to make sure that everybody's informed as much as possible. I don't know. What are your keys? We'll start with Carl. What are your keys that you, in your approach to the job and in being the president of Michigan?
In doing the game, it's just getting the information out there, getting as much information as we can, getting it accurately, and trying to be fairly even-handed about it. It's always just been the way we've done that. So
well, that,
obviously, my voice goes up more when Michigan scores
a little bit,
talking over 105,000 instead of 5,000. But
I would, I guess we'd all agree I'm a little bit more animated than the three. I think probably the three of us, I'm probably probably the most animated, right? Although I've heard you get a little excited there, Mr. Kennedy, too, at Ohio State. What are Bob, what are some of your keys? Anything different or anything that we're not picking up on that you think about?
Carl, I think it has more to do with the brightness of your voice rather than the volume of your voice. We've been in radio long enough to listen to program directors that tell us to smile as we're on the air. Now, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. As far as how you inflect what you're getting across on the microphone rather than sounding like a Stephen Wright for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I think I think it's about intonation and approach and kind of knowing. Imagine yourself being out there. It's hard to digest, you know, people just talking. I think you have to break things up, right? Like kind of know the concatenation of how to effectively communicate in that situation.
Exactly. And I, all three of us do promotions and other things between during timeouts and things like that, where we can get the crowd more involved and kind of play along with them and be, as Dean, you said, be a little more animated, kind of feed off the crowd in that regard. But once the red light comes back on after a timeout, as Carl mentioned, you're back into your you got your blinders on, and you want to be as professional and straightforward, not monotone, obviously. You know, if you want to say go by the book, I have no problem with that, you know, as far as my approach to everything.
Preparation, I think, is key for me. I know that I probably spend a good hour and a half doing some charts and looking at stuff before each game. You know, sometimes preparing for this season and that first game last week was just awful. It was hard for me to do. And I think a lot of that for me was because it had been so long since I had a sporting event, right? You know, normally the longest we go is from what, for some of us, probably May to, or April, May to August or September. But here we'd been since March for me.
Same here.
Carl, for you, it had been longer,
since
right?
Last November.
I mean, I know we're going to talk about that, but did you guys feel like fish out of water that first game that you did?
It was.
Even regardless of the situation.
Yeah, the atmosphere was just so strange. You know, they tried to recreate some of a game day. There were moments over the course of the afternoon when I was just doing the job and it just felt normal. But every time there was a stop, anytime there was a timeout, it was just so obvious that this is something really weird going on.
I concur with Carl 100%. My script on a normal game day Saturday is in excess of 36 pages, front to front to front. And that's with promotions and special recognitions and those sorts of items. My script for the Nebraska game was a grand total from pregame to postgame, 5.5 pages.
Right. Yep. I normally have 55 or 60 different cards. Right. Yeah. And I had 10. So, you know, same situation.
And many of my announcements were, well, I had announcements that rotated evenly regarding wearing masks. And that was the bulk of my announcements during that game 2 weeks ago.
I think it's strange for us, but I want to talk about this on the other side of a break here. I still think it had value you know, there weren't that many people in the stands, but I think the value that translated through the television is something that came back to me in terms of the people's reaction. We're talking to friends of mine, Bob Kennedy from Ohio State University and Carl Grapentine from the University of Michigan. And I'm Dean DeVore. This is Everything Under the Sun. We're going to come back and talk more about this incredibly different college football season after this.
Listen to Weather Insider every weekday for a discussion on trending weather news with me, Bernie Reno, and Evan Myers. You'll get detailed insight into major weather events and learn the why behind the weather. Just subscribe to Weather Insider on your favorite podcast platforms today.
Welcome back to Everything Under the Sun. I'm meteorologist Dean DeVore, your host. We're in episode 7 of our fall series. We are in the midst of a two-part conversation that I had a little bit earlier this week. And I should note that this was recorded on Wednesday evening, so still in the height of uncertainty with what was going on politically and with the presidential race. And, you know, subsequently, we found out that Wisconsin indeed was not going to play football again this year, taking out the game with Purdue they had scheduled. And the growing concern that Wisconsin still has a problem with COVID and its team and the surrounding community. So their future in terms of playing is certainly uncertain going into this week and beyond. But of course, so many things are strange about this 2020 season. I'm talking with my fellow compatriots, the PA announcers for Ohio State, Bob Kennedy, and for the University of Michigan, Carl Grapentine. And I continue this conversation about this strange 2020 college football season. All right. So we talked last segment about how we all kind of got into this, you know, our different paths. Carl's more, you know, came through the Michigan marching band with his PA experience and then transitioned into being the football announcer as well. I was kind of the opposite sports, but I was in the blue band and became the Penn State PA announcer. And, you know, did we mention this in the past segment that Bob Kennedy not only has been doing Ohio State sports now for over 20 years, but you've also the Ottermine football announcer for 31 years, right? So,
wow.
Right. So Ottermine is a small Division III school that's in the suburbs of Columbus in Westerville.
And what is it, Bob? Right. The Ottermine what?
Cardinals.
Oh, I knew that.
Oh, I didn't. I was hoping it was Ottermine.
You know, I knew Ottermine because I grew up in Millersville, Pennsylvania, which was at the PSAC Division III school. I think they moved up to 2 now. But so I think at 1 year we played Ottermine in the 3 playoffs at one point. You know,
I think you may have. Yeah.
Yeah. And so where's Ottermine? I never heard of that. Oh, it's in Ohio. So
our marching band there, Ottermine is my alma mater for sake of information. And I announced their marching band for 17 years. So I pulled a Carl and a Dean on game days where I announced the game and the marching band all in the same swoop. It's funny, Carl mentioned otters. My athletic director that allowed me to have the opportunity to announce for Ottermine 31 years ago, Dr. Bud Yost, his office was inundated with otter paraphernalia. In fact, our cross-country uniforms said otters across the front. So it was kind of a secondary nickname, and they wanted to make it. There was a movement on a couple of different occasions to make otters the primary nickname of the school. And I wrote an op-ed piece in our alumni magazine voicing my displeasure over that possibility for various reasons that would take another hour to explain. I'm not saying I had anything to do with the decision that to keep it Cardinals, but it is still Cardinals to this day because who wants to hear our arch rival Capital University dig it in even more when they say, here, otter, 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 otter. I mean, come on, folks.
Yeah. So, at least, you know, that brings up a good point. Carl and I don't get a bathroom break. You do, at least.
That is true.
You know, you get to go.
I did when I was announcing the band at Ottermine, so I know exactly how you guys feel.
I truly have to worry about my intake. I have to worry about not drinking too much. But it's hard some games because you need the drink to lubricate the vocal pipes there a little bit. And, well, I'm all enclosed now. Are you – you're Bob's all enclosed, right? You have a little bit of a window up top that you can open. And
exactly.
Yeah, but I'm pretty much sealed up. And Carl, you're in this. Are you sealed? I can't remember. Or do you have a?
No, we have the big 6-foot window, which we always raise all the way up, no matter. It's just sort of a point of pride. Although with with the season going into December this year, we'll see.
Well, I mean, that is this amazing 2020 season. You know, well, let's talk about that. The gamut of emotions that you, the three of us, felt. I know when the first announcement was that we weren't playing. I mean, I felt devastated and lost, and I still do in a lot of ways. This is not a normal fall. I mean, all those normal fall feels of going to great Penn State women's volleyball matches, and for me announcing those, and, you know, just crunching the leaves and seeing the people and the homecoming parade and all of that. It's just, it's been tough this year for me. I'm sure for you gentlemen as well.
It did feel good last week to have at least some prep work to do, printing out rosters and checking pronunciations and looking forward to Saturday. But yeah, it's so different.
Yeah, I agree with Carl on that. You know, verifying, maybe reaching out by email to the football contact of the school that you're playing and getting captains and other information from their game notes online and so on. What I noticed that was maybe even more bizarre than actually doing the game itself is the flow into and out of the stadium. Because as I'm sure you guys deal with, there is police presence all along the vicinity of the stadium. And in some cases, there are barricades and where you've got to have a pass in order to get past. Not the case 2 weeks ago. It was almost like a Sunday morning going, just riding around and seeing who was alive and who wasn't. You pulled up to the traffic light, you turned left, you went down to the stadium, you showed your a QR code on the phone in order for your parking credential, did your little health check at the gate, and you went in. And when the game was over, you pretty much did everything in reverse. You got your car, you drove out, you hit the first traffic light, hit the next traffic light, and you were gone in about 5 minutes. That was so strange. And what I am so looking forward to in a strange kind of way is when Carl's team comes down to see us in December. I'm not going to have to sit in my booth for about 30 to 45 minutes doing crowd control because the students have rushed the field after the game.
Hey, remember, Remember, I got caught in that because I was with the Blue Band that year. We got caught because you guys rushed the field in the Blue Band. We were stuck there for an hour and a half.
Yes, you were. I remember that very well.
I understand that. It reminded me, remember the Michigan game here where we had the big snowfall in November?
Right.
And we didn't have any parking and very limited people. I mean, the gates were open, but, you know, we had the people to shovel out the stadium. And it kind of reminded me a little bit like that. Even worse. Yeah, it was just incredible to. All right, so you're saying you're looking forward to all the hassle of taking five times as long to get somewhere. Now, so that 10-mile ride to Ottermine from Ohio Stadium, how often do you have to kind of do that, Bob?
Here's the funny thing about that, Dean. When I was given the opportunity to announce Ohio State football, it was under the condition that I do all of their games or I do none at all. And I figured that my contacts at Ottermine would feel the same. My athletic director at the time, Dick Reynolds, was also our men's head basketball coach. With the Final Four, as I'm sure you fellas are well aware, comes the coaches' convention. So that particular year, the men were in New Orleans and the women were in Atlanta, and our women's basketball coach was assistant athletic director at the time. So I thought, and I needed to have an answer to them by the Wednesday after the national championship game for the men. So I'm figuring, well, both of my contacts, they're going to the convention. I'm screwed. As it turned out, the women's coach stayed back. She didn't go. So she gives me Dick's cell phone number. And I thought to myself, this is going to be good. He's going to be walking down Bourbon Street with a bunch of coaching buddies of his looking for a jazz club at about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. He's going to see his cell phone light up with my phone number. What in the hell is Kennedy doing calling me? And what in the hell is he wanting? How the hell did he get my phone number? So as it turned out, make a long story short, coach said, boy, why would I stand in your way? He says, if this is something that can lead to more of an opportunity for you on a regular basis there, he said, you'd be a fool not to take this on one condition. When you're at Ohio State and you're supposed to be here at Ottermine, he says, you make damn sure that you've got a replacement in that press box for us when we're playing at the same time that you are at Ohio State. That agreement has been in place ever since.
That's great.
Well, that is awesome. And, you know, I'm the same way with women's volleyball and the other sports I do. We make sure that if I can't be to the other one, but I don't have as far as you need to go. But it's sometimes, you know, at the rush out of a Beaver Stadium for me to get from Beaver Stadium over to Rec Hall, which is less than a mile. It can still take 25 minutes in a golf cart because it's just, just crazy.
I don't know has experienced that or not. I know I have it on too many occasions. On some rare occasions, I have had a men's or a women's soccer match at say 7 or 7:30 after a noon or even after a 3:30 game. And our soccer stadium is not clear across campus, but as far as the sports complex is concerned, it's a decent hike from where Ohio Stadium is as opposed to where Jesse Owens Stadium is. You got across a major thoroughfare of traffic that is congested with pedestrian and vehicular traffic.
Yeah.
And trying to get there in time to get your first reads in for the soccer game after you had just gotten done flapping your yap for 3.5 hours doing football.
I know. And then having to be on because, you know, whenever we do what we do, we have to be on. In our closing moments, we're all represent our universities and, you know, not only our university, but our communities too. And here in State College, obviously the smallest of the three communities in terms of where the university is housed. It's been rough not having full football situation and it's been rough for our community. And, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see how that goes forward. You know, as we were mentioning before we got on, you know, Carl with Ann Arbor's more suburban to Detroit. And then, of course, Columbus is the real deal in terms of being a full-fledged city and more of an urban situation. So a little bit different in those areas. But, Carl, I want to start with you. Just the impacts of this on the Ann Arbor and Michigan community in terms of having football as it is in the Big Ten here in 2020.
There were lots of articles about the impact, the financial impact, the psychological impact on the community. And, of course, it's, you know, it's been tough times for so many businesses already for the last 6 or 7 months. And now this could really be a crushing blow for many of the Ann Arbor hospitality-type businesses. So it's very sad.
We're still seeing articles in our newspapers and other media here in Columbus. In fact, as recently as the first game, there were stories of how businesses at the bars and the pubs and the restaurants was down comparatively from last year because of COVID. And I don't know if it's this way with where you boys are, but here in Columbus, you have to stop selling alcoholic beverages by 10 o'clock. You can stay open until 11 and you can drink and eat up until 11, but you've got to have it in hand by 10, at least the beverage. You can have the order in for your food by 10, but that's alcoholic beverage has got to be in your hand and you sipping it by 10 o'clock or you don't get any more the rest of the night.
Mm.
And that is still the case to this day. And I have several bartender girlfriends at the various locations around Columbus where
I'll bet you do.
They've had to take some different measures as far as reducing when their kitchens are open, furloughing people temporarily. It's quite an unfortunate vibe for them because they're open till 1, 2, 2:30 in the morning, usually, most days of the week. Right. And it's not that way for them. It hasn't been for several months, and I don't know when that's going to change.
Yeah, you know, then here too, I just, it's not a full feel in terms of the amount of the student body here. So, and then they're going to go home early. So it's going to be something that we're going to have to track. I really appreciate my friendship with the two of you. You know, when this was all coming down and we weren't going to play there, that first announcement of not playing, I was thinking of trying to get us to go on the road as the three immediate.
Take our show on the road.
Yeah, I actually think it would have worked, and it's still may, especially with some of these stories Kennedy's telling. So, but I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your counsel. You know, as we record this, and we're still in a state of flux in terms of our political situation, our election situation. I posted this on Election Day yesterday that a magical moment 2 years ago when our two marching bands, Penn State and Michigan, came together to do that Game of Thrones show. And it just shows that, you know, even though people can have very different ideas about certain things, we can all come together. So I want to thank the two of you for being such great friends and great counsel when things come up. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you about things that happen and getting your advice. I appreciate the time of talking with you all. Both.
You're most welcome.
Forever mutual on this end, pal.
You know, usually after the interview is over, you realize that there was a question that you didn't ask them. And one of the things that I did want to bring up is, you know, we get involved in the weather because having to keep people safe, we may have to evacuate the stadium. Now, I have not had to evacuate the stadium yet in my 21 years at Beaver Stadium, although we'd had a situation a couple of years ago where we delayed a game and we weren't letting fans in on time because of lightning situation. But both Carl and Bob said they've had to clear their stadiums, Ohio Stadium for the Buckeyes and Michigan Stadium for the Wolverines, three times because of weather and lightning. It's quite a monumental task, and certainly it's something that's on the resume that you have to be ready for. Thanks again to those two amazing gentlemen who do such a great job. Folks, we're going to stay in the Big Ten, and we're going to head up to Madison, Wisconsin, and we're going to talk to a team from the University of Wisconsin in Madison. They are part of this Project X. It's this machine learning competition we introduced you to in our last episode of Everything Under the Sun. They're going to talk about their project, which is trying to make better forecasts based on wildfires and their impact into the climate change situation. We'll talk with them after this on Everything Under the Sun from AccuWeather.com.
Whether you're at home getting ready for work, packing the kids' lunch, or commuting, listen to AccuWeather Daily. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and you'll get the top trending weather story of the day every day.
Welcome back to Everything Under the Sun from AccuWeather.com. I'm your host, meteorologist Dean DeVore. This is the seventh episode in our fall series, and we are, for the second episode, highlighting a very special partnership that we have with a competition going on, Project X, a three-month-long machine learning research competition that's hosted by the University of Toronto. We highlighted it with the entire competition in our main segment last week, and also last week we began highlighting three of the teams that are taking part in this. There are 21 teams total. Last week, we talked to a team that was made up from individuals from different schools in different parts of the world. This week, the team is from the University of Wisconsin in Madison. So we're keeping the Big Ten theme from our football talk just a few minutes ago. This team, Gautam Agarwal, Jack Kai, Colin Frink, Brian Hugh, Elliot Kim, and Trayan Saroji are talking about in their project trying to introduce the idea that machine learning could help climate change in terms of the relevance of air quality impact of wildfires. And so just a couple of days ago, Gautam, Elliot, and Trayan joined me live to talk about their project. All right, Elliot, Gautam, and Trayan, as I get you here today, let's talk a bit about your research. Last week, we talked to folks that were doing research on looking at how climate change and our oscillation in the Pacific goes with El Nino and La Nina. You're looking at climate change and wildfire situation, which after this past summer probably rings a lot of bells with folks because there were widespread wildfires out west this year and it affected air quality. You know, we have our headquarters here in AccuWeather on the East Coast. And there were a few days this summer where it was hearkening me back to when I was a kid and we had air quality issues across the country with haze and stuff in the sky. So it's definitely a situation. Obviously, air quality is a big concern now as we continue to fight with COVID and those kinds of things. So when you have this opportunity, why did air quality and smoke and those kinds of things kind of stick out to you guys? Whoever wants to answer can go first.
When we were looking for a topic, we were like looking through the news and we found that like California wildfires, obviously like headline news, it was impacting a lot of people through the fires and through smoke. I had some friends out in like California who they could like barely see like 6 feet in front of them. So, and on further research, we found out that like air quality has a big impact on health, like cardiovascular, respiratory health. And we also thought that, all right, this is like a machine learning project, gonna involve a lot of data and air quality spread over a large area. And there's a lot of like different data sources that we can use. Overall, we thought, yeah, it has like really great relevancy to human health. And it's also really applicable for machine learning. So we thought that it'd be a great and relevant topic.
Gautam, just talk a little bit about the opportunity for an undergraduate as yourself to be able to do this kind of research, which, you know, many times this is kind of upper level stuff here for people that are getting masters and doctorates, not undergraduate folks. So that has to be exciting as you work through these issues here over the next couple of months.
Yeah, definitely, because you get to make a lot of connections. For a first-time researcher at the university, you try to talk to as many domain experts in climate change who have been talking about the topic of wildfires and air quality. And personally, we have been trying to contact as many domain experts, and we've been building a great network, and we've understood much more about machine learning than you would get to know through a typical course in the university, because obviously when you do research on machine learning concepts, it involves much more than one or two frames of the algorithm. But also, for example, you would also have to consider topics like time series along with an algorithm and how you incorporate that. So that's much more of an interdisciplinary subject to kind of explore through the research, and to get that experience as an undergraduate is very important for development right now for me.
Shreyans, talk about the challenge with COVID right now, and as the higher education scene is a lot different this year than in past years. So has it been challenging for you guys to get together and to focus on this, or easier or harder in this situation?
It's been both easier and harder for our team in general. Generally speaking, we usually have 3 meetings in a typical week, and we discuss our progress and some of our next steps, and Elliot is usually the one pushing us every week to come and join. But I feel like we all the teams would have been better off by having an in-person meeting every week, because you get a proper whiteboard in an in-person meeting, and you can draw out all your logical thinking and reasoning of why something would work, and like you can write out pros and cons, and you can beat your head against the whiteboard quite literally to figure out something. And we cannot do that while we are virtual. It's more and more of talking the same thing again and again. We cannot express our ideas. But virtual has its own benefits. We are able to look for new data online, and like if you're canvassing the same thing again and again, you're more likely to find out new things and new data sets. So that has been beneficial for us overall.
Elliot, without getting too far in the weeds, what do you want the average person to understand about what you're trying to do here? Are you trying to make long range forecasts better for how smoke from wildfires deals with the atmosphere, or how the atmosphere deals with it, to help make better forecasting long range? We have forecasts now, I think, in the short range to tell us where the smoke's going from stuff. But this is more long range stuff in terms of getting better forecasts going in the future.
Yeah. So our ultimate goal is to be able to do long term forecasts based on like wildfire, where they're located, how intensely they're burning, how fast they're spreading, and also like various weather related variables and even land cover variables, like what kind of forest or grassland is burning. But right now we're early stage of modeling, and we're focusing on short-term forecasts to be able to like get something working for sure. So a little bit of both.
Gautam, you know, the opportunity not only to work with your own team from the University of Wisconsin, and, you know, last week we talked to a team that was kind of all over the place in terms of from other schools. This is the first team that's specific to a school, but you've got the opportunity to work with some really amazing people on the educational side and then in the private sector that have kind of brought their resources to bear, like our company AccuWeather. That's got to be exciting for you.
Yeah, definitely, because I think when we look at the past research and the resources and the kind of framework that the private companies provide, it's really easy, because when we talk to the researchers, they say that getting in data is much more difficult than actually applying a machine learning framework. For us, getting the data was a big part of the challenge. And when we refer back to the work of the private companies, it becomes much more easier because the resources provided to us help us do the job much faster, because the time frame is much less and we have to get more work done within that same time frame.
And I think that much more work and less time certainly lends itself to the creativity that you have to come up with. Strains, what's the most creative thing that you guys have had to do here in the last month or so around this project?
Like, there are two things which were really creative, which we would have done, like, which we did not think we would need to do at the beginning, and like, which we tried to pull off in the last week, was gathering all the data sets and like getting that into one format, and like trying to store all of the like different data sets into like on one single grid, and having like all the variables working and filling in missing values if there were any. I at least did not anticipate that to be such a big problem, and like we needed a creative solution. And Elliot, along with Colin, and Elliot's another friend Brian, who is also a team member, was able to work on the same, and like give us a really good solution of like interpolating the data in a proper fashion.
Well, Elliot, they say you're the cheerleader. You're the guy that's been trying to get everybody together. How are things going as you guys get to that end of the month deadline, right, for the submission of the project? You feel like you're in good spot right now?
Well, I'd say that for the past couple of weeks, we were kind of struggling with the data stuff, because we thought, okay, we'll just download the data and get some models running. But turned out that working with the data would actually be a lot harder than that. But we just put our heads down and worked on the data for the past couple of weeks, and now it's in a good format to get the models running, which is, I think, around where we want to be for the project. And so, yeah, we have a good selection of models and all the like back end like tech to like run it. So, yeah, I think we're in a pretty good spot. And the team has been great. So, I haven't had to do too much cheerleading.
Elliot Kim, Gautam Agarwal, and Shreyan Sarogi, thank you for being with us today. We'll look forward to you. Good luck in the competition. We'll get the results here in a couple of months. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Of course, since we recorded that midweek, we just, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the University of Wisconsin has just lost another football game of their season. They had to cancel their game with Purdue, which, of course, that hurts the Boilermakers as well. And it looks like there is still some problems with COVID in the team and in the community that are causing some concern of whether or not the Badgers play football. So we're kind of taking both themes together there with football and this amazing Project X that we certainly look forward to chronicling and keeping in touch with. We're going to be profiling one more of the teams, and then, of course, have the announcement of the winner as we go through it. I want to bring in someone who does a lot of work behind the scenes to make this podcast sound amazing. And I want to bring in our executive producer, Ken Prell, for a couple of reasons. One is, Ken, thank you for all that you have been doing behind the scenes. And, you know, I've given you some pretty lengthy stuff here to edit through and to make it sound great. And thank you for all the great job that you've been doing on that.
No problem. Thank you, Dean, for, hosting a great show. It's always fun putting these things together each week.
I truly have enjoyed it. And so normally we're going to go right into our last segment, which is what we call weather for the weekend coming up and beyond, is where we just take a little longer look at the weather. I invited Ken in here because, you know, since I started hosting the podcast back when we started with the COVID series in March, I haven't really taken a break. Even when I was on quote unquote vacation, we kept doing the podcast. But turns out that, I need to take a little break here. I need to take a week off. I'm going to get some knee surgery done next week. I've been hurting in my knees, and as active as I've been trying to become here over the last several years and my weight loss and stuff, I need to get that fixed up. So I'm going to take a few days off. So we just figured that Ken would be in next week to host the podcast. So, you know, I wanted to give you practice to host the weather segment with me before we get into that. You know, first of all, I just that conversation with my friends, the PA announcers, I know you've been enjoying, because the behind the scenes, the inside baseball stuff about what goes on in the booth has been, it was kind of fun.
Well, you know me. I'm a radio geek. I'm a football geek. You know, I love hearing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I didn't even think about, you know, getting to and from different sporting events on the same day and how much easier that could potentially be now with no fans. But I give you guys a lot of credit. I don't know, just watching some of these games with just 100 people or a couple hundred people in the stadium. It's just to keep that kind of enthusiasm. And, you know, I'm listening always when I'm watching watching Penn State, always listening in the background for, to hear you.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I think, as I said, I think that really made a difference for a lot of people that couldn't be there and were watching on TV just to kind of feel that familiarity. You know, I said this to someone in the office today. When we look back at this, Ken, for those of us that live in Happy Valley, we are going to look back and think that we kind of just wasted the one of the nicest slates of college football Saturdays that I can remember in a fall. And here we are going into the early part of November, Ken, and we're talking about a temperature that could get to near 70 degrees in Happy Valley and State College on Saturday before that game kicks off. And there's going to be places that get up in the low to mid 70s. It's like summer on overtime. The second one, we had a surge of that. And, I know you've got kids. I mean, they've got to be like, you know, how do they dress? One day it's they're dressing like winter, and the next day they have to break out the summer clothes again.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing about this year with COVID. My daughter is doing, you know, virtual learning from home, so we don't have to worry about too much of the clothing options here. But she's always in a hoodie anyway, so no matter if it's, you know, 95 degrees or if it's 30 degrees. So so her outfits are usually the same, no matter what.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. But, you know, I tell you what, I think especially with, and again, as we record this late Thursday, early Friday, we're still got a lot of uncertainty about other things. One thing that has been certain has been how gorgeous the weather has been. And just looking at the map, Ken, I mean, this nice bulk of high pressure continues to be over the middle of the country, the Great Lakes, the Northeast, into New England through the weekend. The only places the eastern third of the country that may be a little bit, you know, substandard is one is because of the position of the high, the winds coming in onshore in Florida. And plus, now we're going to have to keep an eye on Ada, folks, because it looks like it's going to get back over the Caribbean and then emerge past Cuba as we go through the weekend. And then the questions are, what happens? Does that circulation regenerate and it comes back up the eastern seaboard, or does it cut back left, go into the Gulf? It even still sends a little moisture up, you know, into the eastern seaboard. But that'll be the question marks that you're going to want to watch on the forecast going through. And then, you know, our good friend, Dr. Joe Sobel, who still works in our forensics situation, but retired from Daily Radio, he used to say it's the rubber band theory of meteorology, Ken. You know, you're stretching the rubber band so far and creating all this warmth in the eastern part of the country. It's got to snap back. Yeah. Out west, snapping back again, windy, cold, and there's snow going to be flying in the Rockies. And this weekend is kind of a tale of two situations. And then, of course, as we get into next week, we're going to keep an eye on Ada. I think as we get into next week, too, we've got our show planned out, too, as we really kind of get a little bit more of a deeper dive into winter preparation here as we start wrapping up fall. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, next week we'll welcome back a couple guests that we've had on recently. Paul Pastelak, of course, AccuWeather long-range meteorologist and expert. He'll be back with an update on the winter forecast next week, so looking forward to touching base with him. And then Becky DePodwin, who we've had on recently as well. She has winter weather preparedness tips for us, tips for travel, how to prepare your home, and some outdoor tips as well.
That's going to be interesting. And then I'll probably be back hopefully the next week after that. But yeah, good. You know, Paul's always great to talk to. Yep. And we talked to Becky just several weeks ago in terms of things. And that'll be a great conversation. And, you know, we're so appreciative. I know Ken and I are of having the resources here at AccuWeather and then being able to tap into all these great people across the country and across the world. It's been fun. And we look forward to keep doing here on Everything Under the Sun. All right. So this, Ken's like, wrap it up. I will. He's the executive producer. I hear you. I see you.
I got to edit this stuff together and get it out.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Friends, for all of us, the hundreds of AccuWeather team members who work tirelessly behind the scenes every day to keep you up to date, make sure you're checking out our newly redesigned app. It's winning rave reviews. Just seen many more stories where people are just saying, you got to switch to the AccuWeather app. AccuWeather.com. All our great media partners are AccuWeather Network, the great radio stations I'm fortunate to be on. We have so many people working hard to keep the weather story and the forecast and keeping you weatherproofed with all of that. So for Ken Prella, our executive producer, with Andrew Robb and all of our great guests, thank you so much. Episode 8 of our fall series with Ken next week, and I'll be back the week after that. This is Everything Under the Sun from AccuWeather.com.